Welcome to the Deep Dive. We dig into your sources to pull out the key insights. Today, we're jumping into something fundamental. Forces in motion. How things, well, move.
Yeah, exactly. Our guide is a mix of materials, including some foundational texts on dynamics. We're basically going to unpack the principles governing, you know, everything from tiny vibrations to a ball flying through the air.
And give you that shortcut to really understanding it. Maybe even make it stick.
That's the plan. Demystify some physics you see constantly.
Okay, let's get into it. We see things fall all the time.
Right.
Gravity, simple. But what about falling through something, like air or water? That seems different than just dropping a rock in a vacuum.
No, absolutely different. That's where viscous friction forces come in. It's a key idea. When something moves through a fluid, could be air, water, anything really the fluid itself resists, it creates drag.
Drag, right. Like sticking your hand out a car window.
Exactly like that. And this viscous friction totally changes the game compared to simple free fall. What's really insightful here is terminal velocity.
Terminal velocity. Heard of that.
Right. It's the point where that upward drag force perfectly balances the downward pull of gravity. So the object actually stops accelerating. It just keeps falling at a steady maximum speed.
Ah, okay. So doesn't it just keep getting faster and faster indefinitely?
Nope. That's why, you know, raindrops aren't lethal and parachutes work. They reach that steady speed.
That makes a huge difference. So how do we measure that resistance, that drag? Is it just like how thick the fluid is?
That's a big part of it. We look at the coefficient of viscosity, basically. Yeah, how thick or sticky the fluid is. You know, try running through waist-deep water versus just air. Big difference, right?
Definitely.
That's viscosity at work. And we have tools like Stokes' law that help us predict this drag based on like the object size and that viscosity stuff.
Okay, that makes sense. So fluids resist things moving through them. What about when we want something to move through the air? Like throwing a football or launching.
Yeah.
Anything, really. That's projectile motion, isn't it?
Spot on. Projectile motion. And it is everywhere. Think basketball shots, fireworks.
A golf drive?
A golf drive. Perfect example. A projectile is just any object that's thrown or launched. And then only gravity and, yeah, usually air resistance are acting on it. Doesn't matter if it starts with a sideways push, like rolling off a table, or an angled launch, like kicking a soccer ball. Its path is always this curve, the trajectory.
Okay.
And we analyze key things, the range, how far it goes horizontally,
right,
the maximum height, how high it gets.
Got it.
And the time of flight, just how long it's up there.
And we can predict all that. Even with air messing things up.
Surprisingly well, actually. It's predictable enough to, you know, aim things accurately or figure out where to catch a ball. It's pretty amazing.
It really is. Okay, so we've got falling with drag and flying through the air. What about things that just repeat back and forth, like a swing set or maybe a guitar string when you pluck it?
Yes. That brings us to harmonic motion. Things that oscillate, that repeat in a regular pattern. Your swing set example is perfect. It's basically harmonic motion.
Huh. My kid's demonstrating physics.
They are. And that regular back and forth, those oscillations, you see them in springs too. A mass spring system bouncing. That's often governed by Hooke's law. Basically, the more you stretch or squash the spring, the harder it tries to get back to its original shape.
Okay.
And for a pendulum, like the swing, its repeating motion is tied directly to the acceleration of gravity.
There's something really specific about pendulums, though, isn't there? Something kind of special,
mm-hmm.
Especially for old clocks.
Ah, yes. You're thinking of the isochronism of small oscillations. It sounds complicated, but it's a beautiful property.
Isochronism, equal time.
Exactly. It means equal time. For a pendulum, if the swings are relatively small, the period of the time for one full back and forth swing is almost exactly the same, no matter how wide the swing is.
Really? So a tiny swing takes the same time as a slightly wider one?
Pretty much, yeah, as long as they're small swings. And that consistency, that was revolutionary for making accurate clocks. It allowed for really precise timekeeping.
Wow. Okay, so we've covered quite a bit, falling through air, flying projectiles, swinging pendulums. What's the big takeaway for, you know, someone listening? Why does this matter day to day?
Well, it matters because these aren't just textbook ideas. They're happening all around you, constantly. Understanding how a bird uses air resistance to glide, or predicting where your keys will land if you toss them, that's projectile motion. Even appreciating how a simple pendulum in an old clock could keep such good time, that's harmonic motion and isochronism. These forces and predictable patterns, they literally shape the world you interact with every single moment.
So these fundamental rules lead to all the complex movements we see. It's kind of mind-blowing when you stop and think about it.
It really is. And maybe that raises a question for you listening. Now that you've got these ideas, viscous drag, trajectories, oscillations, how many examples can you spot just, you know, going about your day, look around, it's everywhere.